One more stone, Sir Rufford, and the wall is finished. Are you satisfied now that no coward has taken refuge in that room?
I take thee at thy word. I'll be on my way, for no man would seal his own
father,
son in...
Father!
Aha! If that be not a coward in hiding, what manner of songbird is it, pray?
I heard nothing. And now, Mason, put in the last stone.
Father! Father! It is Simon, thy son!
My lord! You can't expect any man, Mason or master, to...
Stand aside. I'll put it in myself.
Father! Father, 'tis I!
Stop, my lord! 'Tis too dear a price to pay, even for cowardice.
There is no coward in Canterville Chase, I tell thee. Now, leave my house.
And so I shall. For surely there is no more wretched place in all of Christendom.
Because thou hast fled the field of honor in disgrace and brought shame to thy proud blood, that room shall be thy tomb. When thou art dead, may thy craven spirit walk the halls of Canterville Castle until a kinsman wearing thy signet ring redeems thee with an act of courage. The last stone.
No, Father! No!
Tonight on Old Time Radio Drama, live from the Big Top Chautauqua in Bayfield, Wisconsin, as part of the centennial celebration of WHA, the oldest radio station in the nation, the 9XM Players present The Canterville Ghost, based on the story by Oscar Wilde and the Lux Radio Theater broadcast of June 18, 1945. Starring Bruce Bradley, Karen Miller, we're on the air, Michelle. Ladies and gentlemen, Michelle Good, our director. What would you like to say?
We have a little bit of a problem.
What problem is that?
Excuse me.
Penelope can't do the show.
Well, I warned her about the alewife sherbet.
But... Let me just borrow this. Is there a doctor? Actually, is there an actor in the house? John Munson. Come on, John. Come on. Stop. Thank you. Come on.
As long as they don't have to wear a dress.
Just take him backstage and get him dressed. Pay no attention to us.
Until later, maybe. Well, okay. Let's just start over. Tonight, live from the Big Top Chautauqua in Bayville, Wisconsin, the 9XM Players present The Canterville Ghost, starring Bruce Bradley, Karen Miller, Pete Besson, Michael Harold, Michelle Good, and John Munson. Canterville Chase is 7 miles from Ascot, the nearest railway station, but the two may as well be at the opposite ends of the earth. On an otherwise lovely July evening, the air is delicate with the scent of the pine woods, and the sweet voice of a wood pigeon echoes through the trees. A startled pheasant takes wing. Squirrels scold from safe perches, and rabbits bound away with their white tails in the air. But as you enter the avenue of Canterville Chase, the sky becomes overcast. A curious stillness seems to hold the atmosphere, and the sky darkens, threatening rain. Canterville Chase is the new home of an American diplomat and his family. Mr. Hiram B. Otis of New York has leased the castle, despite the insistence from the real estate broker that the place is haunted. And so far, during their first 2 weeks in residence, Mr. Otis's common sense scoffing has carried the day and the night, for there has been no spectral appearance and nothing unusual at all. Well, nothing but one little thing.
Try again, Stevens. It spoils the whole effect. Here we have this magnificent Tudor hall leading into the library, the grand staircase with all of its wonderful mahogany panning, and the stained glass window. Mm-hmm. And the effect is quite ruined by that hideous stain.
Oh, the poor man's about wrung himself out, Lucretia. You've had him on his knees cleaning the same spot every day for the past 2 weeks. Maybe we should just learn to live with it.
I've scrubbed it 7 ways to Sunday, Mum, but it keeps coming back.
Well, try again.
Yes, Mum.
Maybe it's the dampness of the weather. Mm. Hiram, how do you suppose it got there in the first place? Good heavens, child, you must stop appearing out of nowhere.
Look here, Lady Margaret, I understand that you are technically the owner of this house, but you can't keep sneaking up on us like that. We have rights.
I wasn't sneaking. I just skipped right in. Mrs. Otis had a question, and as the last of the Cantervilles, it is my duty and obligation to pass on the legends of my ancestors whenever called upon to do so.
But I wasn't inquiring after your ancestral legends.
I thought you wanted to know where the stain came from. According to the legend, Lady Eleanor de Canterville died on that very spot after taking a ghastly fall from the balustrade.
From all the way up there? However did she manage it?
I hope it's been shored up since. When was the accident?
Quite some time ago. But the issue was never with the balustrade, Mr. Otis. The issue was with the ghost.
Oh, Lady Margaret, not that again. You English are so rooted in the past that you can't part the curtains and let in the light of common day. I'll take the furniture and the ghost as part of the price of leasing this place. But I come from a modern country where we have everything that money can buy.
True.
And with several generations of our lively young fellows painting the old world red and whisking away the best you Europeans have to offer.
Indeed.
I offer the opinion that if there were such a thing as a ghost anywhere in this godforsaken swamp of a country, our Yankee boys would have hauled it back to the States in no time flat for one of our museums or a touring circus or a zoo.
A zoo?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Just how long ago did Lady Eleanor have her mishap?
It was at the time of the 6th Lord Canterville, about 1740.
And if it wasn't a balustrade giving way, what was it that propelled her ladyship onto the rug here? Not your ghost, I'll wager.
Not directly, no.
What did I tell you?
She was fleeing from it.
200 years, and it's still loitering around?
It has been well documented for 3 centuries, since 1644, in fact, and always makes a special appearance before the death of any member of our family.
Well, so does the family doctor.
Really?
Now, look, let's put an end to this here and now. There is not and cannot be such a thing as a ghost.
No.
And I don't think the laws of nature are going to be suspended for the British aristocracy, even in this moist, dim corner of the realm.
In any event, as I am the last of the line, except for our much-anticipated guest, I don't know what the ghost will be doing with himself.
If there's anything worse than a ghost, I suppose it would be an unemployed ghost. You know, and speaking of unemployment, didn't a housekeeper come with this place? I mean, where the deuce is she?
Fled also, I'm afraid. She was preparing to cut a head of cabbage when it turned into the head of a man. She ran away as fast as her limbs would carry her.
Without leaving a stain, I hope. You know, one more stain, and Lucretia may make poor Stephen scrub himself to death.
I'm sorry, Hiram. I just can't stand here staring at it. Stevens, it's time to get tough. You brought some of your things from the States, didn't you? What gets out blood?
Mrs. Otis, I only packed one special thing, and it gets out blood, wine, you name it.
Oh, good.
In fact, I've taken the liberty of bringing it out just now.
Oh, of course. Lux carpet cleaner. That'll put an end to that unsightly bloodstain in the twinkling of an eye.
After 200 years, it's high time for it to be gone. Have at it, Stevens.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, look.
A little bit over there.
Look.
There you are.
Well, leave it to American ingenuity.
Gone in no time.
And back in no time.
It's beginning to give me the willies.
As I've suggested, there may be more to Canterville Chase than meets the eye.
Oh, give it up for now, Stevens. We'll take it on again later.
Yes, ma'am.
I do believe our guest has arrived.
Wow! Will you get a load of this joint? It looks like Grand Central Station, but without the pickpockets.
Lieutenant Covington, I presume? Welcome to Canterville Chase. I'm Hiram B. Otis.
Name's Albert, but I go by Cuffy. Pleasure to meet you, Your Worship.
Oh, there'll be no worshiping here. I'm an American from West 53rd Street in New York.
Oh!
I believe you corresponded with my wife, Lucretia.
Oh, right you are. How do you do, Mrs. Otis?
Very well, thank you. We've about adjusted to the gloom.
We're leasing this place from the Canterville estate.
No kidding. It's kind of clammy, ain't it? Must have run out of dough to pay the heating bills.
And even with the good fire lit, at odd times you feel cold drafts that seem to come from nowhere.
I can't believe I'm related to this. If my great-great Hoosus hadn't left for America, I might be the one serving you the tea and strumpets. And now, the family's moved out completely. After 500 years.
Yeah, well, not quite. This is Lady Margaret, the last of the English Cantervilles. She comes with the place.
Yes.
A pleasure, I'm sure.
Not as sure as I am. How you doing, cousin?
Very well, thank you, cousin. A fourth cousin, once removed. Cousins, I believe.
Roger that.
Who's Roger?
Oh, that means you bet.
You bet.
You know, to look at us, who'd ever believe we're related?
Good question.
But hey, we gotta stick together, right?
Roger.
So you're the last of the line.
I am. For now.
Oh, yeah. That's right, you're just a kid.
Well, that's more than enough about me. Tell us about yourself, Cuffy.
I'm the last of my line, too, I guess. I'm an only of an only. I could have a family reunion in a phone booth. And when somebody says pass the salt, it's my left hand passing to my right. Yeah, you know, maybe that's why I was kind of curious about this place. Yeah, wanted to see where it all came from.
Well, I'm sorry the circumstances aren't better. We don't usually have anti-aircraft guns on the roof of the gatehouse.
I've been hearing about this place for years. Yeah. Never quite believed it, though. Kind of took it as just an old story embroidered through the years by a few dotty relatives.
Yes.
Kind of like, you know, like a...
A legend?
Yeah, that's it. A legend. When I heard that we might be billeting troops here...
What?
I had to come up and see it for myself.
Seeing is believing. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm very grateful for the hospitality.
Oh, sure.
I mean, I realize it's kind of screwy, me wanting to see the ancestral digs and all, when my branch of the family hightailed it a couple hundred years ago.
No, I very much understand. It's your heritage.
Yeah. I guess that's it.
Tea is served, ladies and gentlemen, this way.
You must catch us up on all the news from the States.
Oh, sure.
I hope you'll excuse the state of the place. We've done our best to tidy up, but these quaint English homes are so old. Yeah. Some things you just can't clean. This stain, for example.
Oh, is
something wrong, Lieutenant Covington?
Not at all. Just got a little catch, I guess.
For every mark on the wall and every blot on the floor, there's a story, a legend. Some of them are nonsense, of course, but not all.
No kidding.
Lady Margaret is a bit dramatic.
You've heard of Sir Simon.
No, not that nonsense again. Please, Lieutenant, have a seat.
Oh, thank you. Sir Simon? Can't say as I have. Is he coming to tea?
I wouldn't be surprised. You never know when he'll show up. Sir Simon is our ghost.
Your goat?
Our ghost! He haunts the castle!
You're pulling my leg, right?
No!
You'll find that Lady Margaret is quite the spinner of tales.
Well, if you don't want me to tell you about it...
Hey, If you say your castle's haunted, who am I to argue?
Well, it provides some entertainment anyway. The radio reception around here is spotty at best, and, well, you can't even go for a walk for Pete's sake without worrying about having a bomb dropped on your head.
Oh, yeah. I hear the Rangers do field training exercises around here.
Yes, they do.
The place is perfect for them. You've got everything from woods and fields to a honking big ravine.
You may not believe this, but I have seen the ghost myself.
No fooling. Have I stepped into the weird circle here or what?
Lady Margaret.
Just ignore her, Lieutenant Covington.
And over there, behind that curtain, is the door to his bedchamber. He was walled up in there centuries ago.
More tea?
Yeah, thanks. You're putting me on.
Every night on the stroke of 12, his spirit walks the halls.
Standard time or wartime?
Oh. Stevens, take Lieutenant Covington more tea.
Covington, darling.
Oh, same thing. Yes, sir.
When the clock in the hall strikes 12...
Stevens, have you gotten a gander at this guy?
Oh, no, sir. I've never seen him, sir.
You see, not everyone can see him. He only appears to family.
Conveniently.
That's why I feel I must tell you about him.
Lucky me.
You have nothing to fear from him. Only the fear he brings out in you.
The only thing I have to fear is fear itself. Sounds familiar. Okay, I'll buy that.
It's easy to say until you see him.
So what's his beef? His problem?
He's seeking a kinsman who will redeem him.
With the family sputtering out, he must be running out of candidates. Oh,
I suppose he is getting increasingly desperate. They say that over the years, he's gotten more and more ghastly. I shouldn't tell you this during tea, but after seeing him, the Dowager Duchess of Springfield was found one night on the balcony, stark, staring mad, gibbering like an idiot.
You don't say.
Oh, the Lady Margaret Belton. She drowned herself in the fish pond because... Do you know why?
Ran out of sugar?
Because there he was again, with long green fingers twitching with palsy and his eyes burning like coal. He was playing the bloodsucker of Bexley Moor.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Lieutenant Covington, I know right well that you'll be laughing at me.
Oh, no, ma'am, no.
But just you wait until midnight. Your family, you'll see.
Nine, 10, 11, 12. It's 12 o'clock. And there ain't no Sir Simon. That little Miss Margaret thought she could pull one over on her fourth cousin, once removed Cuffy. But I'm no dummy. Oh, ow. I guess it's time to hit the hay. Right. Hey, what's that? Clattering around like a garbage truck? Hey, can't a guy get any sleep around here? Hey, don't make me come out there. Right. You want to sling junk around at this hour? I'll show you some slinging. Once I get my hands on you, you'll wish you was a ghost. Hey, what's that? What's going on? What is that floating in the air? It's a green man. No, a glowing man. Okay, that does it. No more spam at bedtime.
Ghosts. Let me see if I can
Not yet. How about the sound of me lopping off your head? I know the words that will strike terror in your heart. Pledge drive!
If there really was a him, this can't be real. Maybe I'm still sleeping. Yeah, that's it. It's just a lousy dream. I must be losing my marbles.
Just a moment, dear. Here you are.
Do the eggs not suit you, Lieutenant Covington?
Say again?
The eggs. Does the poaching not suit you?
Oh, they're fine. Hunky-dory. I'm just not so hungry, I guess.
I hope you slept well.
An old place like this, it takes some getting used to. All those strange noises in the night. The house settling, I suppose.
At times you'd swear you're hearing gunshots.
Yes. No kidding.
Did Sir Simon not appear last night?
I couldn't tell you. I was sacked out the whole time.
Really? How fortunate. Mm. But he's really quite harmless, you know, if you keep calm.
Listen, if that green gas bag had shown up, I'd have chased him right up the chimney.
Truly?
Truly.
If you didn't see him, how did you know he was green?
I was just guessing.
Truly?
Truly. You think I'm kidding? Okay. You meet me right here at midnight tonight, and we'll go hunting for the old buzzard.
Good idea to stir him up. You don't want to get him mad.
Oh, you want to know who's mad? I'm mad, that's who. Mm. I want to root that guy out and tell him to lay off so I can get a good night's sleep. Yeah. Thinks he can scare me. Ha! It's all a gag, I'm telling you. Whoever's making all that racket, he's just pulling a stunt. Oh. Well, tonight, I'm going to find him and pull a stunt of my own. You say you're the only one who's seen him?
The only living person to have seen him.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm telling you, he's just some clown in a ghost suit. Oh. Now, I'm going to call his bluff. I'm going to grab him by the beard and give him what for. And when I'm finished with him, he's going to wish he was a ghost.
All right.
Are you game or aren't you?
Oh, I'm very much in the game, Lieutenant Covington.
Well, you are.
And so, until midnight... Mm.
Like it's midnight. The old green gas bag should show up at any minute.
Yes, indeed.
You nervous?
Why should I be nervous? I've already seen him.
Thought you'd chicken out.
Chicken out?
Yeah, you know. Bark, bark.
Now you're making me nervous.
Didn't you say the old boy was sealed up somewhere?
I did. The chamber is right over there, behind that curtain, over past the library.
Okay. Behind this curtain?
Yes, but it's just a legend. It's been so long, nobody knows for sure.
Well, there's one way to find out.
It's best to step over the stain. It's this way. Where are you going?
I was just taking a circle route. You know, offense, but you guys really should get somebody to clean your rugs.
I told you it won't come out.
Okay.
It's there forever.
Okay, okay. So what's the story with this Sir Simon?
The legend has it that during the war between the Roundheads and the Cavaliers, Lord Rufford of the neighboring estate was trying to raise an army. And when the third Lord Canterville refused to join, Rufford declared that all of the Cantervilles were cowards. Sir Simon challenged him to a duel. But when he got the first cut, just a scratch, at the sight of his own blood, he lost his courage, threw his sword down, ran all the way back here, and hid in his bedchamber. Ooh, his father was incensed and had the room walled up and declared that Sir Simon would rot there until some kinsman freed him with an act of courage.
Wow, 300 years. That's a long time to wait for a bus. So behind these curtains is, sure enough, a door. Well, I guess that's that. Unless you want to try to bust this thing down, but it looks pretty solid.
I have a better idea. Let's try opening it with this.
You think a key is going to open it after 300 years?
This is England. Things are made to last.
Well. Welcome to the inner sanctum. It's kind of stale in here. Oh, go.
Shh. I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed. Maybe we should continue this some other night.
Oh, no, no, no. We're in this together, cuz. This place looks like a museum, only a lot dustier. I don't see any ghost. Maybe you're right. Maybe we should call it a night.
Wait! What's this on the mantle? A ring? A signet ring! It must have belonged to Sir Simon!
So if this is his bedchamber, where's the bed?
It would be in an adjoining room, naturally. There, behind the tapestry.
Of course, I forgot. Naturally, because my own tapestry is at the dry cleaners.
And behind that tapestry is the truth or falsehood of the legend. Sir Simon, if the doorway is walled up... I don't mind saying that this is getting a little creepy.
So it's walled up, so what? There is no ghost. You still think there's a ghost?
Uh-huh.
All right. If there's one in here, let's flush the sucker out.
What?
Hey, ghost. Where are you hiding?
Shh.
Come on out. You got company. Ready or not, here I come.
I really don't think it's a good idea to get him angry.
Oh, ghosty! Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Ah!
You've been listening to Act One of the 9X Empire's production of The Canterville Ghost, based on the story by Oscar Wilde. We'll be back with Act Two in just a moment. But first, this important word from Lux. Ladies, does it sometimes seem that you're two people? The dreary, drab, everyday you, and the beautiful, glamorous, self-assured starlet struggling to get out.
Well, guess I'll stay at home tonight and eat potato chips again. After all, place needs dusting, especially the phone. It hasn't rung in months.
Poor Marge. She can't break out of her routine. All the colors have faded from her life, except one.
Mouse brown. But somehow, I feel that there's a beautiful, glamorous, self-assured me that's just busting to get out. If only I knew how to make that happen.
Oh, Marge. Boring old Marge.
Who's that?
It's me. Estelle!
Estelle? Oh, I love the name, but I don't know any Estelle.
Yes, you do!
Oh, my!
I'm the glamorous you. Just busting to come out.
Glamorous me?
Do you know that you're just one step away from breaking out of your shell and freeing the new, wonderful, popular you? Marge, put down those potato chips. And let me open up a whole new world for you.
You gotta be kidding me.
All it takes is you.
Me?
Yes, you. You can let me out. With just one word.
No.
Yes.
And that word is?
Lux.
Lux?
Lux.
Lux. How come it doesn't do that when I say it?
Lux. It's the way to the new beautiful you.
Well, as the Easter Bunny says, I'm all ears.
Well, let's start with your hands.
You mean these? Rough, yes. Red claws?
Yes. Literally. Now, here. Ah, daily application of Lux Liquid will turn those lobster mitts into beautiful, silky, soft instruments of love.
How did you do that? It's like magic.
When that man walks through the door, what do you suppose the first thing is he notices?
My laundry. The only men who come through that door are washing machine repairmen.
No, Marge. Yeah. Not that kind of man.
No.
I mean, the man.
The man.
The man of your dreams.
Yes.
When he comes into your life, what do you think is the first thing he'll notice about you?
I think it's my big...
Oh, that's right. Your hands.
I'm with Lux. I'll get soft, caressable hands just like this. That'll keep him coming back time and again.
You got it!
Hey, is Lux safe for other parts of my physiognomy?
Oh, you bet it is. Lux is gentle enough to bathe in.
Oh!
Why not do what the Hollywood starlets do and immerse yourself from head to toe in Lux whenever you can? And just listen to that phone ring, Marge. Why? You'll get so many calls, the receiver will melt. And you'll have to cool those burns with...
Lux!
You said it. Now, are you ready to set me free?
I am!
Just say the magic word.
Lux!
That's right, Marge!
Hey, now that I'm using Lux, you can call me Estelle.
Well, there you have it, ladies. And remember, send in 100 box tops. That's just 100 box tops from any fine Lux product, and you can join the Lux Flakes Club. You'll get your own signed certificate saying, I am a Lux Flake. And now on to Act 2 of the 9XM Players production of The Canterville Ghost.
Please tell me this is some kind of gag, Lady Margaret. Did you get some hack actor to impersonate Sir Simon?
No, but I almost wish I had.
I thought you said you'd seen him. So why are you shaking in your slippers?
Well, I've never seen him face to face.
Oh, and a heck of a face it is, too. Red eyes, no less. And your hair, pal, looks like you haven't washed it in 300 years. You know, with Lux shampoo.
Stop it.
Be gone. You with your petty colonial talk of merchandise. I shall not abide such prattle in my chamber.
You know, I would scram, but my feet seem to be glued to the floor. Help me.
Do you know what I did to the Duchess Dowager when she trespassed into my room? As she stood before her glass in her lace and diamonds, I appeared behind her. In her reflection, I startled her so that she would never look at her image again.
I've had mornings like that.
Then there were the housemaids, four of them, who went meddling and at my door. And all I did was open the curtains, and they ran off in hysterics.
You know, some cleaning jobs have that effect. One time when I had latrine duty...
The rector of the parish, as he was coming home late one night from the library, I blew out his candle. And for the rest of his days, he was locked away, muttering,
Out, out, brief candle, life's but a walking shadow.
Yes, he was a perfect martyr to nervous disorders. When the wicked seventh Lord Canterville was found choking in his dressing room with the knave of diamonds halfway down his throat, and he confessed just before he died that he had cheated Charles James Fox out of £50,000 by use of that very card. And that was how the ghost had stuffed it down his throat. It was the last true word he ever spoke. The beautiful Lady Stutfield. She was always obliged to wear a black velvet band around her neck after the mark of five invisible fingers were burned into her milky white skin. She drowned herself eventually in the carp pond at the end of the King's Walk. Each had a private fear, and I could play the part to rattle it. I was Red Jeeves in The Strangled Babe. My debut as Gaunt Gideon, the bloodsucker of Bexley Moor, was brilliant. And the furore that I caused by playing ninepins with my own bones on the lawn tennis garden.
That caused quite a stir in the family.
Please, no more! And after all that grim work, Sir Simon, how do you do? I'm Lady Margaret, and this is Lieutenant Albert Covington.
Hello.
I'm not at all well, thank you.
Oh, bless you.
Thank you, child. I have a cold.
Ha! Ha ha! That was a pretty good gag while it lasted. bet there ain't no ghost in the world that sneezes. How much are you getting for the gig, bub? What's the going rate for impersonating a hobgoblin?
Was it an impersonation last night when you fired four shots through me?
Five.
The fifth bullet doesn't count. It missed me entirely. Your hand was shaking so much.
Hey, that was just a dream.
Oh, and if it was just a dream, how do I know about it?
Let me get back to you on that. Mm. Look, whoever you are, you know, you had this girl scared stiff, so I brought her in here to show her there's nothing to be afraid of.
What, I was scared?
Sir, my record speaks for itself. An unbroken reign of terror for 3 centuries.
Record or no record, as long as her ladyship's around, you've got to behave yourself.
It's absurd asking me to behave myself. Quite absurd. I must rattle my chains and groan through keyholes. I must gibber from the north parapet on the first and third Wednesday of every month. It is my solemn duty to haunt these halls.
Oh, that's just a load of ectoplasm. Mm.
But Cuffy, he's a family ghost. It's his obligation to the family.
Ah, he's an American child. They know nothing about duty or obligation. And what could a people without ancestors know about ghosts?
Now, wait a minute! Wait a minute! You never heard of the Headless Horseman? Huh? Or Red Grange, the Galloping Ghost?
What?
Or Mrs. Pruneface?
Shallow provincial stuff. Spirits without crest or title or pedigree.
Titles, huh? Well, what about Count Basie? Duke Ellington? Oh, yeah, the Sultan of Swat, huh?
Nobility in a democracy. Balderdash.
But, Sir Simon, we've had democracy here in England ever since the Magna Carta.
Magna what?
Child, it's a fragile, fickle thing. It's subject to the whims of the riffraff. No, oh, I have never chosen to embrace it.
But you should, Sir Simon. That's what we're fighting this war about.
That's the stuff, m'lady. You see, you're not afraid a bit. Not so close to me. Well, now that you two Cannavilles are getting acquainted, you must have a lot of family matters to gab about. So, I think I should be, you know, I think I'm going to get some shut-eye.
What?
I have, a meeting with Hiram tomorrow. We're thinking of billeting a platoon here. Are you sure you're going to be okay with his ghost ship, lady?
Yes.
Oh, great, Captain. Yeah, see you later.
Unless you'd rather be alone.
Oh, no. Pray, sit down. I've quite forgotten my manners.
Well, if I may say so, you could have been a little more polite to Cuffy just now.
After this invasion of my sepulchre, this lack of respect, no. I may have very little else, but I still have my pride, my dignity.
But you became very undignified just to frighten us.
I'm supposed to frighten people. Oh. I have a reputation to uphold. I am the most fearsome phantom in all of England. If one is stuck with a job, one might as well strive to be the best at it.
With all that's going on in the world, I'm not sure anyone has time to believe in ghosts anymore.
Lady Margaret, I can pretend no longer. After 3 centuries of frightening others, it is I who tremble at the slightest noise. I'm being driven mad. I want to go to sleep, but I cannot.
All you have to do is go to bed and blow out the candle. It is very difficult to keep awake sometimes, especially in church. But sleeping? Why, even babies know how to do that, and they are not very clever.
I have not slept for 300 years.
For 300 years?
I have not slept, and I am so tired.
Poor ghost, have you no place where you can sleep?
Far away, beyond the pine woods, there is a little garden. There the grass grows long and deep. There are the great white stars of the hemlock flower. There the nightingale sings all night long. All night long he sings, and the crisp, cold moon looks down, and the yew tree spreads her giant arms over the sleepers.
You mean the garden of death?
Yes. Death. Death must be so beautiful. To lie in the soft brown earth with the grasses waving above one's head and listen to silence. To have no yesterday and no tomorrow. To be at peace. To forgive time. To forget life. You can help me. Have you ever read the prophecy on the library window?
Oh, well, often. I know it quite well. It is painted in curious black letters, and it is difficult to read. There are only 4 lines. When a kinsman masters fear and wins the field, though death be near, then shall all the house be still, and peace return to Canterville. But I don't know what it means.
It means that love can conquer fear. In you, Lady Margaret, I believe there is great love. And when the time comes, you will conquer fear. Set me free.
Today. I can't get anything but static on the radio in my room.
Oh, the Allies are still broadening their beachhead in Normandy. I followed it on the Armed Forces radio.
There was no such thing on my radio. Hmm? Just local stations with a lot of speaking in a strange language.
Speaking in a strange... Oh, darling, that's English.
Well, you know, as George Bernard Shaw said, the Americans and the English have everything in common.
But language. There it is again.
Sorry,
thank you.
One of us has got to go, you or me. And since you are a stain, I'll nominate you.
Do you often talk to the floor, Stevens?
And more importantly, does it often talk back?
Sorry, sir. Ma'am, I'm just determined to put the house in order, and this stain is the lion guarding the gate.
Well, several hundred years of tradition is unlikely to blot out in a few days, but good luck with it.
Well, according to Lady Margaret, the ghost restores the stain. Mm. It's one of his duties.
The ghost. Yes, of course, Mrs. Otis.
I take it you're not a believer, Stevens?
Yes. I can't say as I am, sir, never having seen one personally. The part of London I come from, we can't afford no ghosts.
Yes, well, I've never seen one either, nor do I put any credence in the validity of specters. But these English swear by theirs.
Well, according to Lady Margaret, he's a creature of habit.
Well, Mr. and Mrs. Otis, rest assured, just in case he really exists, I have a plan to get rid of him once and for all.
Oh. Hey, Sir Simon. Long time no see. If I must say so, you look god-awful. Oh, and I don't mean in a ghostly way, more like in a ghastly way. Is your cold getting worse?
Oh, everything is getting worse. Eternity is starting to wear on me. I have no peace!
Oh, did you have a bad night?
Things are taking a turn. The other night, at my usual time of 1:15, I glided out of the wainscoting and crept down the corridor. On reaching the room where the butler is occupied, I found the door just ajar. Wishing to make an effective entrance, I flung the door wide open. And a jug of water fell down on me, soaking me to the skin and just missing my arthritic left shoulder. Yes, I heard stifled snickers of cockney laughter coming from the four-poster bed. Yeah, the shock to my nervous system was so great that I fled back to the tapestry room as fast as I could go, and now I'm laid up with what I can only describe as a severe bronchial pneumonia.
Oh, but you still have to go to work. No sick days for ghosts, huh?
The only good thing about it was that I didn't have my head with me at the time. Otherwise, things could have taken a very serious turn indeed.
I bet you wouldn't be the first Canterville to get in a tight spot and lose his head.
Spare me. Oh, no, I've now given up all hope of frightening this rude American family. I'm reduced to creeping about the corridors in my slippers with a thick muffler around my neck for fear of drafts. This small hand cannon in case I should run into the butler again. Yes. The final blow came just 3 nights ago. I went down to the main hall, thinking there at least I would be sure of being unmolested. As I was amusing myself by making satirical comments about the photographs of Mr. and Mrs. Otis, which had been replacing the family portraits of the Cantervilles. But I was simply but neatly clad in a long shroud spotted with mold. Oh. My jaw was tied up with a yellow strip of linen, and I transported a small lantern and a sexton spade. Yes, one of my better impersonations, one of which I'm particularly proud.
Bravo.
Well, it was about 2:15 in the morning. Huh? And as far as I could ascertain, no one was stirring. And as I was gliding down the hallway towards the library to see if there were any traces of the bloodstain...
the blood.
Suddenly, there leaped out at me from a corner a wild figure waving its arms wildly above its head and shouting, "Boo!" in my ear. "Boo!"
even that old cliché.
I didn't know that Stevens had it in him.
Well, I panicked. Then I rushed for the staircase while I found some leering, sheeted thing gibbering there and encountering the monster again and being hemmed in on all sides by the enemy while I just rushed and flew into the great iron stove, which fortunately was not lit at the time. And I made my way back to the tapestry room through the flues and the chimney, and I arrived back in my own room in a state of dirt and disorder and despair.
Oh.
Cousin, I need a kinsman. A kinsman to redeem me from the torment of this world between worlds.
You know, this duel, or whatever you were supposed to do, was it that big a deal? I mean, couldn't you have just put up your dukes? You know, that's the way we do it today. Left hook and a right cross, you know? Huh?
Oh, no, that would never have done in 1644. Oh. Even so, it was rather extreme of my father to starve me to death.
Starve you to death? Man, that's a bum rap. So, Simon, are you hungry? If so, I have a spam and pickle sandwich. You want it? Yeah. Oh, sorry about that. I went right through you. Sorry.
Would you mind? May I see? Spam and pickle.
Very good.
No, thank you. All the same. No, I rarely eat anything these days, spare the occasional moonbeam. Although it was very kind of you to offer. All the same. You know, you are much nicer than the rest of these horrid, rude, vulgar, disrespectful inhabitants of this house.
What's got you in a huff, m'lady?
And as for dishonesty, I know you made all the paints in my box disappear when you tried to furbish up that ridiculous fake bloodstain in the library.
I got blood again.
First, it was the reds, including the vermilion, and I couldn't do any more sunsets. Then, it was the emerald green and the chrome yellow. And finally, I had nothing left but indigo and Chinese white and could only do moonlight scenes, which are always depressing to look at and not at all easy to paint. I never told on you, though I was very much annoyed. And it was most ridiculous, the whole thing, for who ever heard of emerald green blood?
Oh, could we stop with the blood?
Well, what was I supposed to do? It's very difficult to get real blood around here these days. Yet, unless the butler began it all with his constant scrubbing and detergent, well, I certainly saw no reason why I should not have your paints. Well, as for color, that is a matter of taste. Of course, the Cantervilles have blue blood, the very bluest in England.
Is that a good thing?
Not that these interlopers, these Americans, were to give a farthing for things of that kind.
You know nothing about it. And maybe the best thing you can do is to emigrate and improve your mind. Mr. Otis owns a steamship line, and I'm sure that he will be glad to give you a free passage.
Even though there's a heavy duty on spirits. You know, I'm sure you'll have no problem getting through customs, because the customs officers are all soft-hearted Democrats. Once you're in New York, you're sure to be a big success. I know lots of people would give $100,000 to, you know, just to have a grandfather, and a heap more than that to have a family ghost. Of course, you'd have to get past a few German subs first.
No, I don't think I should like America.
I suppose we don't have any ruins.
Oh, untrue, my dear boy. You have your language.
Oh, and no curiosities like you got on this side of the pond.
Ha! You underestimate your fellow countrymen. No curiosities. You have your manners.
Oh, no manners? Why, I ought to, you know. If you want a 300-year-old ghost, why, I'd knock the living daylights out of you.
What's that?
Oh, sounds like a B-25 coming in for a rough landing. It can't be more than a couple miles away. Somebody's got to get over there.
It would be an act of courage. You give him the ring.
Okay.
Good night. And Godspeed.
Oh, Father, grant that he not be like the others.
Hey, Mac, are you okay?
I don't think the nose gunner got out. I couldn't get back there. I busted my leg, I think.
Take it easy. Where's everybody else?
Tail gunner took a hit. He's out, but in a bad way. Pilot, co-pilot, navigator, radioman, all bail, I think. Probably scattered all over the place. Somebody's got to get the nose gunner out. We're hit pretty hard. If that crate goes out...
Hey, rest easy, Mac. I'll see what I can do.
Tail gunner got out, but he may be dead by now. Nose gunner pinned in there, knocked out maybe. I couldn't pull him off. My hands are burned.
I can see him still in there. And there's somebody else on the ground just outside. The tail gunner. Blood all over him. Blood.
Oh, blood on my hands. Thick blood. Oh, no. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it!
Quiet today, Hiram. Mm. That usually means we have something we should talk about.
Oh, is that so? And what is it you want to talk about?
Oh, no. I won't let you duck out like that this time. Huh. What do you want to talk about? Or maybe I should say, what should we talk about?
Well, I suppose having a fighter bomber crash practically in the backyard would be one possible topic of discussion.
Darling, it's terrible what happened. Oh. It's a wonder they all lived through it.
A spotter saw it go down and rushed over and got the nose gunner out just before the thing went up in flames.
Oh, dear.
You know, the way he tore out of here in his Jeep, I was sure Cuffy would get there first.
Yes.
But he said he misjudged the position of the smoke and took off in the wrong direction.
I've barely seen him since. Mm. He leaves early and comes home late. I wonder if it has something to do with the crash. Are they really thinking of billeting troops here at Canterville Chase?
They might change their minds if they know what's good for them, ma'am.
Whatever do you mean, Stephen?
Yes, are we missing something?
Yes.
The ghost, sir. He's been raising a terrible ruckus at night.
Ghost?
You believe in ghosts now, do you, Stevens?
It was sort of a game before. I couldn't see him, couldn't hear him, and yet...
And yet?
And yet these last few nights, ever since the plane crash, I guess... I've been hearing things, terrible things.
Well, we're all overwrought, Stevens.
Yes.
Who wouldn't be with a bomber crashing out there?
I haven't had a sound night's sleep. It's as if the ghost is getting back at me for the pranks I played on him. Mm. But there's something else.
Something else?
A kind of feeling in the air at night. I can't explain it. It's despair.
Well, war hysteria, perhaps.
Oh, yes.
Heaven knows there's plenty of that going around. Since the other night, we've had a double dose of it. And there's nothing to say it won't happen again, or something worse. It's like waiting for the lightning to strike.
Is that why you were roaming around last night?
Hmm?
Searching the sky for planes? Ours or theirs?
Oh, there are spotters for that. They don't need me.
And so?
So what?
Why were you wandering the halls? Candle in hand last night. Not once, but twice.
Just to make sure the place was secure. You can't be too careful these days.
Well, of course not. But must you groan?
What?
Must you groan when you're on watch? Plodding about the halls all night, groaning.
So you heard it too?
Heard what?
The ghost.
Oh, don't be ridiculous, Hiram.
Hmm.
We're Americans, for heaven's sakes. We don't believe in ghosts.
Then?
Then what?
Well, if you didn't hear a ghost, then what was it?
I heard something.
Mm-hmm.
Scraping. The wind blowing a tree branch against the roof.
There are no tree branches within a quarter mile of the roof.
And?
And? So maybe Margaret's onto something after all. Oh. No, Lucretia. That scraping.
No.
That groaning.
Oh.
What you heard. It's him. Look at me, Lucretia.
I am looking at you, Hiram.
Oh, jeepers creepers, let me see them peepers. Think about it, darling. Think real hard. You know it and I know it.
It seems as if something has come alive in the castle, or maybe something that's been here in the shadows all along, but is getting stronger, coming into the open.
Like music. That you hear from a long way off.
Hmm.
Getting louder. And louder! As if we're coming to the end of something.
It does sound like it. Like it's coming to a crescendo. I just wish I knew what was coming up.
Hiram.
Yes, dear?
There are people out there.
Just back away slowly, dear. Try not to make eye contact.
And so ends Act Two of the Nine of Sinclair's production of That Tale of Old Ghosts. We'll bring you Act Three in just a moment. But first, we pause for station identification. Live from the Big Top Chautauqua in Bayfield, Wisconsin, this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is where nothing happens. Here. But in the broadcast, important messages. Don't worry, you'll get an important message too. And now, back to our live broadcast from the Big Top Chautauqua in Bayfield, Wisconsin, for Act Three of the 9XM Players in the Canterville Ghost. But first, I have some important news for you. Listen a moment, and you'll hear how it sounds over the wires. The telegraph is saying just three words. Here's what they are. Quick Lux Flakes. Yes, that's our big news for millions of housewives. Lux Remarkable Suds are now even faster. Come clean, ladies. What's keeping you from buying the soap more women choose for the cleanest clothes and the softest hands? That's now even better. Perhaps you're faced with that moral dilemma every time you go shopping. Maybe our newly glamorous friend Estelle can help. She's making her weekly trip to the supermarket to pick up her groceries. Let's listen in.
I don't know which detergent to buy. These quick new Lux Flakes or this Boggin brand. Well, I know Lux is the magic word. I'll buy Lux.
Hold on there, little lady. I couldn't help but overhear your dilemma.
Oh, hello there. Yes, I couldn't decide which soap to buy.
Well, I don't blame you. So many choices, yes. So many decisions.
Uh-huh.
Why, it's enough to make your head spin around like you were possessed. But maybe I can assist. Can I tempt you with this bargain brand?
Oh, yes.
There's only one right choice, Marge, and that's Lux.
She goes by Estelle now.
Who are you two? And how do you know my name? Names!
I'm your conscience.
Ben, I am not.
Oh, dear.
Estelle, don't listen to him. There is no right choice or wrong choice. Only shades of gray.
Which is exactly the color your dainties will be if you use that bargain brand, Marge.
Gray is the new black.
Oh. Yes.
You'll be so fashionable. And just think of all the money you'll save.
Lux costs only a couple of pennies extra a day.
Which, after a year or two, adds up to hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's not
think
true.
Think what you could do with all that money, Estelle. You could finally take that vacation getaway to Vegas.
Marge isn't interested in Sin City.
Yes, I am.
She's interested in purity, gentleness, and suds. Mountains and mountains of luxurious Lux suds.
I hate to burst your bubble, Halo Head, but suds ain't luxurious.
Good point.
A penthouse suite now at the Flamingo Hotel. Now that's luxury.
Yeah.
And when you think of all the money you save by getting the bargain bread, why, that trip is practically free.
Ooh.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Pennies a day over the course of a year or two don't add up to a hill
Who
of beans.
Who knows? Maybe you'll meet that millionaire you've been looking for.
Do you really think so?
Apparently, you don't want to listen to your conscience, Marge.
No, I don't.
Okay, fine. I'll play along. Let's say you do meet that millionaire in Vegas with all of your supposed
now
savings.
Now you're talking, wing boy.
Yes?
And he falls head over heels in love with you.
Oh, he does?
Oh, so much so that he proposes to you on the spot.
Oh, how wonderful!
He gets down on one knee.
Yes.
Takes your hand in his.
Yes.
And
yes.
What's this?
What?
Your hands.
What?
Oh, they're so rough and red from soaking in that ungodly cesspool of soap.
No.
That he changes his mind and marries a showgirl named
Roxanne
instead. Because Roxanne has soft, caressable hands. She uses Lux.
Lux sucks.
I'm going to wash your mouth out with Lux.
I'd like to see you.
Oh, yeah? You want a piece of me? Let me straighten this out.
No, stop!
Anytime.
Stop!
He started it.
Gentlemen, I've made my decision.
You have?
You have.
Yes. I'm buying Lux.
That a girl, Marge.
And then I'm taking the first plane to Vegas, find that millionaire, and show him my caressable hands.
Way to go, Michelle.
That's right. Be like Estelle and Marge. And make no compromises when it comes to your soap. She knows there's only one choice. Why not stop by your grocer's tomorrow and say, "New Quick Lux, please." Your grocer has it. It's in that same familiar box. But it's the wonderful new Quick Lux Flakes. It suds faster. It's thrifty. It's so safe. You'll love it. And because it's so gentle on your hands, so will he. Don't let that man of your dreams get away. Buy new Quick Lux today. And now we present Act 3 of the 9XM Players in The Canterville Ghost. Nighttime envelops Canterville Castle. In the garden beyond the pine woods, Lady Margaret and Lieutenant Cuffy Covington patiently await the ghost of Sir Simon. Then Margaret sees a faint green glow. Her face brightens in response.
Sir Simon!
We've been looking for you since midnight. Where have you been?
I've been down at the dock, gibbering. I'm sorry to say, I'm in poor voice tonight.
Look, if you gotta hang around here until a Canterville does a brave deed for you, how come you're still here after 300 years?
Indeed, why do you suppose?
You know, in all that time, somebody must have done something courageous for you.
Excuse me, I have to get back to work.
Now wait a minute. Quit stalling. What's wrong with the Cantervilles? If you're trying to hold out on me, I swear I'll...
Nay, kinsman. I was merely trying to spare thee.
Spare me what? Go on. Spill it.
Might as well.
Mayhap it is better if thy ancestors speak for themselves. Come with me to the portrait gallery.
Okay. Get a load of all the pictures.
These are our ancestors, Cuffy.
Oh.
Gaze upon them. Our noble family. Sir Gregory of Canterville. Proud skipper of the frigate Crandon. When she sank, he was the first to leave the ship.
Wait, what?
Sir Andrew de Canterville. He saw a grenadier lose a finger in a battle, and he swooned away until the battle was conveniently over. And the blessed twins. In the charge of the light brigade, Lieutenant Paul Canterville charged the wrong way.
What about the other twin?
Oh, don't ask about that.
Yeah. He advanced to the rear even faster.
Wait. You mean they were all cowards?
The lot of them. Of all the heroic bloodlines that for centuries have brightened the glory of England, ours has spawned a brood of lily-livered tits. The last on the field and the first off, with their backs to the enemy.
So that's why you held out on me. You thought if I found out, I'd turn tail and run.
No.
Oh, never. Not at all. It never entered my mind.
Well, I got news for you, Gramps. I am cut from the same cloth. Out there the other night when that plane crashed, I was the first on the scene to get the nose gunner out. And at the first sight of blood, well, suddenly it was some other guy's job. They all lived. Well, no thanks to me. So you get yourself some other patsy to get you off the hook. Because it won't be yours truly, yours untruly, Cuffy Covington.
Poor Sir Simon. What will become of you?
He's a ghost. What does he have to worry about?
And what will become of you, Cuffy?
There are jobs in the army for guys who can't cut it when things get hot. They'll probably bury me behind the desk somewhere. Or maybe they'll just discharge me for the benefit of the service.
No, Cuffy, no! Don't say that! You're not a coward! You're brave! I know it! I know it! I know it!
Okay, okay, sure, m'lady. Have it your way. I gotta pack. My leave ends tomorrow. I'm heading out first thing in the morning.
Cuffy!
I'm sorry I let you both down. I guess it runs in the family.
Cuffy!
I should have pinned my face yet again in a Canterville.
Pipe down, Sir Simon, will you? And get down off of that chandelier. You're making me nervous. Like everything else.
Nervous? Aye. That I can well believe.
Oh, can it, will you? Get out and let me finish packing.
Pack, then. And leave me to my fate. Thou who has raised my hopes only to dash them like a skylark on a rock of granite.
Cuffy!
Look, m'lady, it's your castle, but until I leave, this room's off limits.
I saw a parachute coming down.
A parachute? Where?
It came down this side of the stone bridge.
Where's the stone bridge?
Do you know the old side road?
No.
But then I'll take you there. I know a shortcut through the deer park.
All right, well, let's go. We'll grab the jeep. Hurry. Tree. I don't see anybody, but you'd better stay here.
Right.
I'm gonna look around. Okay. Duck down in the jeep now. Duck down.
Oh. Cuffy? Cuffy, who are they?
Oh. Where?
Over by the woods. Those men. Who are they?
Oh, they're okay. They're rangers on maneuvers. That's where I might be if I hadn't. Oh, great.
Cuffy, what is it?
You see that thing?
Uh-huh.
About 20 feet ahead of us?
Uh-huh.
It's a parachute mine.
What?
A bomb.
Oh!
A blockbuster. Oh, let's get out of here. If that baby goes off, it'll kill every living thing within a half mile. We got all our... The rangers. They're scattered all throughout the woods. They'll be killed. Blown to pieces, every mother son of them. Get back to the castle. Run, quick.
But aren't you coming?
No.
Cuffy, you'll be...
There's no time to argue. Now beat it. I gotta get a chain on this thing and haul it out of here. If I can drop it in the ravine, I can... Didn't you hear me? Get going before this thing... Oh, no.
What's wrong?
I can't touch that sucker.
Why not?
There's a timer on it. The least little jar could set it ticking. I could get blown up.
Cuffy! You don't have to be afraid just because you're a Canterville. Look, Cuffy. I'm not afraid of it.
Knock it off! You've never seen what one of those things can do!
Look, Cuffy, I'm kicking it. I'm not afraid!
Yeah.
I can't be afraid because someone has to redeem
some... Oh, it's ticking!
Oh, no.
You started the timer! I'm all right now. Just go on, run for it. Get out of here! This thing's gonna go off in 60 seconds!
Cuffy, I'm so sorry. I couldn't help
you. Oh, it's okay, my lady. Just beat it.
No.
I gotta get this thing out of here. All right. There. Pulled it out of the underbrush. Just gotta get it to the ravine. Steady, Cuffy. Steady. And stop talking to yourself. The Rangers! Rangers! Run for your lives! I got a blockbuster on here! A time bomb! Run! Blockbuster! Oh, no. Oh, the chain's slipping. How much farther? Can't have more than a few seconds left. Out of the ravine! Jump! There she goes! Happy landings, baby! 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. What was I beating my gums about? All that hooey about ticking? The thing's a dud. None of us were in any danger. Huh. Brave me. Brave, heroic me.
Was it
happened?
Rachel,
Lady Margaret, where the deuce have you been?
Oh, thank goodness you're all right. We were worried. Look, that terrible explosion.
It must have been an air raid.
No, it was Cuffy.
Cuffy?
Yes, near the stone bridge.
Oh,
a bomb from a parachute. Cuffy blew it up. He did it to save everyone.
But what about him? What about Cuffy?
Oh, dear.
What? Well, oh. That's okay now. Take easy.
We don't know anything yet. Don't panic. We mustn't be jumping to conclusions.
Oh, yes, the barrel. We'll have a barrel of fun.
Wait.
That's strange.
Here now. Young lady, where are you going?
We got the boots on the run.
Hey,
yay,
hey, hey.
What?
Boom, boom.
What happened? Why, I just dumped that cockeyed thing right in the ravine. That big, great, honking ravine.
That's my boy. Just like St. George slaying the cockeyed dragon.
Oh, Sir Simon, you're here. Well, you're still here.
What, child?
Oh, Cuffy is a Canterville. And he's done a brave deed for you.
Come to think of it, I did. I sure did.
You're free to go to the garden beyond the pine woods.
Hey, verily I believe I am. Thanks to you.
Hey, not to put the bum's rush on you, but if you're going, you better hurry, because here come the Rangers, and the joint's likely to get a lot louder. Louder than a bachelor party on the 4th of July.
Father, the deed is done. The Cantervilles are redeemed.
Look at Sir Simon. He's glowing.
Thank you, cousin. Thank you, Lady Margaret. Farewell. Farewell.
He's gone. He's gone.
Great Caesar's ghost. What was that? Hey, son. Son, did you see that?
You and me both, m'lady.
And I'm going to miss you.
Sarge! Sarge! You okay?
Well, this war's a long way from being over, but I got a feeling I'll be back. After all, we're family. And we Cantervilles, we gotta stick together, right?
Roger that, Lieutenant! Roger that!
Hey, guys! The Sarge is fading!
You've been listening to The Canterville Ghost on Wisconsin Public Radio, performed live by the 9XM Players as part of Wisconsin Public Radio's Centennial Celebration, celebrating 100 years of broadcasting. Our show tonight has come to you live from the Big Talk Chautauqua in Mayfield, Wisconsin. Tonight's performance featured Bruce Bradley as Sir Simon, a spirited performance. Pete Bisson as Coffee, Karen Miller as Margaret, Michael Harold as Hiram Stevens and the Angel, and Michelle Good as Lucretia, Madge, and the newly glamorous Estelle. John Bunsen was our surprise celebrity guest tonight, performing the roles of Estelle and the Devil. Our director is Michelle Good. Brittany Williams is our Foley operator. Steve Gotcher, our broadcast engineer. Dean Panetter, our WHA board operator. Special thanks to the Blue Canvas Orchestra. Thanks to Chris Myshock, Mark Reachers, Sonny G, Charmian LaRose, Jeff Durkee, Ruth Ann Bestman, Erica Janik, Liz Stettleman Scanlon, Best Cleaners, American Players Theater, and our sponsors, Sturgill and Long Attorneys, as well as 41 Imprint and Memorial Medical Center. Thanks, one and all. I'm Norman Gilliland. And next, it's The Adventures of Sam Spade as old-time radio drama continues here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.